أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز: واعبد ربك حتى يأتيك اليقين. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We glorify and extol Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we seek His guidance. We seek His protection. We seek His mercy. And we seek His success. And we seek His acceptance. And we send peace and blessings upon our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, on this sacred journey of ours in this beautiful and noble month of Ramadan, we have unwrapped and unraveled the mysteries of Salah, some of the mysteries of Salah, on how to connect our heart, our mind, our soul to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make our dialogue, our conversation, our communication that much more meaningful, and begin to enjoy our intimate conversations with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that, we need to open up, we need to share our feelings, we need to become vulnerable, we need to be sincere, we need to be devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His majesty, with His beauty, with His asma and sifat, but also have this sense of raja, this hope, this awe, this haiba, and this khawf in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So combining our heart and our body, and also the words that we say all together in unison, and fusing them all together, will enable us to truly taste the lazza, the sweetness, the beauty of Salah, insha'Allah al-Aziz. Yesterday we began our next step in our journey, which was to understand Surah Al-Fatiha, the most integral part of the Salah itself. It is the core of the Salah. And without Surah Al-Fatiha and its recitation, there is no Salah whatsoever. So that is a very important part of us in our Salah, in our dialogue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the actual bit where we directly communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we discussed yesterday, He acknowledges our communication, and He responds to our communication as well. And He says, my servant has praised me, he has glorified me, he has extolled me. And then when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance and guidance, and for us to be on the straight path, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is between me and my servant. I will give him whatever he needs, whatever is necessary for him. So alhamdulillah, yesterday we just did the first letter. And I'm sure Brother Waqas, when he went home, he goes, this guy is going to take at least a month to finish Fatiha. But inshallah, we'll try to get through alhamdulillah and the rest of the surah very, very quickly, I know, because we have so much more to do. But inshallah, God willing, after the month of Ramadan, perhaps we can do some tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha and do it justice, and really go into the depths of Surah Al-Fatiha. And inshallah, maybe Surah Al-Mulk, Surah Al-Rahman and Surah Yasin. These are some core surahs that we should all have a very, very close affinity to. So alhamdulillah is a very important part of the phrase and the greeting that we do and remembrance that we do to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. The Prophet alayhi salam would say that we should say alhamdulillah and praise and glorify and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all our states. Whether we are going through huge difficulty and huge problems and musibats and bala and fitna and trials and tribulations, we should still say alhamdulillah, because through those situations we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our sins are removed and washed away, so we still say alhamdulillah for Allah giving us that opportunity. And whenever we have good in our life, we always also turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say alhamdulillah. So this is the state of a believer, that no matter good or bad, what seemingly good or bad, in all states insan should always say alhamdulillah. When somebody sneezes, we say alhamdulillah, we respond and say yarhamukallah. All of the du'a that you hear, well, or the khutbahs that you hear when the imam recites on Jum'ah, or in the khutbah itself, or du'as that they do, they always begin with what? Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام. That's what they say. Alhamdulillah. Every single thing begins with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a very important part for us to reflect upon in our salah when we are praising and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we actually come to the next bit today, inshallah. So we say Alhamdulillah. And who we are saying it to? We say to Lillahi Rabbil Alameen. So just quickly, the Al is nice and soft. So you're not making it hard. You're not saying Al, you know, like that. So it should be nice and soft. Al. Ha is nice and light. Do you know when you're exhaling, when you have a nice cold water on a hot day, you say, ah, mazage. So Alham, like that. Ha, nice and light, not heavy, because it changes the meaning. So Alhamdulillah, here, the Allah, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is thin. Normally when we say Allahu Akbar, it is mota. The rule is, whenever there is a zabr and a pesh, fatha and a dhamma, whenever there's a zabr or a pesh before the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is always read full mouth. Allahu Akbar. But whenever there's a kasra, which is whenever there's a zir before the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is always read empty mouth, i.e. thin. So this is why you can see here, we say, lam's got what underneath it? It's got a zir, li, yes? And then it's the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should be saying it thin and stretching it. So, alhamdulillahi, not lohi. Alhamdulillahi. And the hada again is heavy, this one at the end. First one is light, aha. This one here on Allah's name is heavy. So, alhamdulillahi, rabbil alameen. Ra here is nice and round again, because Ra has got fatha upon it. So Ra, Rabbil, to make, you know, again, you're just trying to make that noise, that sound like the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A is sharp, the Ain is sharp, and you're stretching that as well. A and Meen, again, you're stretching that as well. And inshallah, we'll go through those things. So we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that we acknowledge that all praise, all forms of perfection and glory and exaltation is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who is worthy of it all. And we discussed a few important things, what's going on around us in the world that we live in, the universes that we have, and also within us. And we can only just be amazed at it and say, Alhamdulillah, this is all due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Rabbil, this is the next word that we're going to discuss today, inshallah. Hopefully we'll get through more. So, Rabb in the Arabic language means what we generally understand Rabb to be Lord. We say Rabb to mean Lord. But it has a lot of other deeper meanings in the Arabic tradition. Rabb means a nurturer, a person who nurtures. So your mother, they nurture their child. A father also nurtures the child. A person who is a farmer, they nurture their plants and their crops. What is the point of that? That they begin it from the beginning, from the time that they sow the seed, from the time the child comes into the dunya, they are constantly nurturing that child or that plant or that vegetation or whatever it may be. Even like you may be nurturing a program, to nurture it from its infancy all the way and to make sure it works and it does what it's supposed to achieve. So Rabb means to nurture. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our nurturer. He is constantly there taking care of us. He is training us and He is providing for us and protecting us and He is giving us our sustenance. So He is the one who is taking us from one stage to the next stage, to the next stage, all the way to our peak, to our zenith, to our perfection. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing for us. So this is why we say Rabb, that He is the one who is truly giving us everything that we have, and He is the one that we should be turning to, because He is our Lord, that nurturer, that provider, that protector, the nourisher, the one who is giving us all of these things and taking us from nothing and making us into souls, and taking that soul and giving it a body, and then putting it into the womb of our mothers, and then bringing us into the dunya, and then through all of the stages, from the childhood to the infancy to the to the teenage years to the adulthood, every single stage. Don't ever assume or be under this assumption that you've achieved what you have achieved in your life, or you've accomplished what you've done. This is all through the Lordship, all through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is your Lord, who has given you all of these things and constantly nurtured you. He's given you, your parents, the ability to provide for you, and say they are also your Rabb as well, the nurturer, the protector, the preserver, the one taking insan from stage to stage. Rabb also denotes and means master. And this is also an important thing to understand. Because remember, we're trying to make our salah more meaningful. We're not just saying Rabbil Alameen. We're actually trying to understand what does Rabb mean to you. So he is our nurturer, our carer, our provider, and takes us to our peak. And he is also our master, our Lord, our Rabb, our master. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is our master, and therefore we are his what? Slaves. And this is very important to understand. Because if you come to your salah thinking you're it, you come into salah thinking that you're doing a favor to Allah, or you're, you know, doing something that, you know, Allah should be grateful for, then you got the wrong end of the stick completely. You are the servant and the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are nothing. Allah is your master. He is your Lord. He is your provider and protector, the nourisher and everything. And therefore you come to him in complete humility and submission before your master. And you come and you praise your Lord, and you understand your relationship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, the most high, the most elevated, Hayyul Qayyum and everything, and you are nothing. You are absolutely nothing. You are nothing. This is very important to understand the relationship that you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the master and the slave. So what does a slave do? A slave always does what the master commands, what the master wishes. And this is a very important thing, because we never think of ourselves as slaves. We hear the word all the time, Abd, Abd, Ibadur Rahman, Abdullah, and we don't even think too much about it. But when you're saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, this is what you're acknowledging. You're standing before your master. You are the servant and you are the slave and you are nothing, and therefore you are completely subservient and you can fulfill all of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as a servant and as a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do slaves do? You only need to go back 100 years. You only need to go back perhaps even less than that. If you look at the human history, what did slaves always do? They always obeyed the commands of their masters. Whatever the master said, whenever they said, however they said, they just followed the commands and they worked. Did they not? If you look at the plantations in America, if you look at Africa, if you look at even Asia, even the Middle East, and even also in Pakistan, all these places, today we call them servants. Person, somebody who's helping us, and they have some form of autonomy. But reality was beforehand that everybody was the slave and they were the masters of the house. Were they not? And even now, if you look in the house of the what? The house of the Lords. Because these are the manor of the Lord, the Lord's manor. The Lord, he had meaning, they were the masters, and everyone else underneath, the queens and all the hierarchy, they were all the servants and the slaves and the workers of these elite people. But we only bow down and submit and surrender to one master, to one Lord, which is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence why when you bow down in your salah, when you do ruku in your salah, when you do sajda in your salah, that is the true demonstration that you are indeed the servant and slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah indeed is your master. So we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So think about these elements when you say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen in your salah. So in human history we have seen that slaves, what do they do? Have you ever found in human history, in America, in Africa, in Asia, or anywhere else, that the slaves love their masters? They don't, do they? All the slaves, what do they ever want? They either want equality, they want freedom. These are the two main things. They either want to be treated exactly the same, irrespective of the color of their skin, or their ethnicity, or their background, or their blood. They want to be treated the same. And we're still fighting for that. You know, religions are fighting for that. People of different color and ethnicities, even till today, in this day, are still fighting for that equality. And if they don't get that equality, then what do they want? They at least want their freedom. They want to be free to choose their own life and their own decisions and whatever they want to do, away from the slavery of their masters. So this is what they want. They want freedom from their slavery. But who are we? We can't ask for freedom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can't have equality with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we can't have freedom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sense that we are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's servants and his slaves, and we will always do that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Why? Because whatever Allah ta'ala wants us to do is always beneficial for us. Whereas no normal masters of the dunya always want to do it for their betterment. You work hard in the crops and the plantation, I will get the money, I will get the agriculture, I will get the crops, I will get the success, and I will get all of these things. But our salah does not benefit Allah. Our ibadah does not benefit Allah. It does not harm Allah. Nothing that we do ever benefits or harms Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, we cannot ask for that equality, and we cannot ask for that freedom, because everything is for our benefit. And under this slavehood and under this servanthood is where our success is. And this is why it's very important to understand. Slaves never ever used to praise their masters. Did you ever see any slaves in all of history say, my master is so great, my master does this for me and this for me and this for me, and all praise is for my master? No, they wanted the equality and they wanted the freedom, and they never praised their master. Whereas we come to our salah and we recognize our master is the greatest master of all. He's Rabbil Alameen, all of the worlds and the universes, that he is the most kind, he is the most beneficent, he is the most compassionate, he is the most loving, and he is the most caring. And we want to stay under our master. We want to stay as servants and slaves under our master. And we want to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything that he has done for us. From the time that we were born up until wherever we are, everything is through the benevolence, through the karam, through the fazl, through the ihsan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a very important thing that we need to understand when we're saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. That master, that servant, and the Rabb. And who is your Rabb? And he's a Rabb of all of the worlds, all of the universes. This is what you are saying. And then we come to the next bit, so we're going through it quickly today. The next bit after Rabbil Alameen, we say Ar-Rahman. That's the next word that we say. And we say Ar-Rahim. Or obviously, depending on the recitation, we say Ar-Rahman, Nir-Rahim. The noon has a kasra, the noon has a zir. Okay? Or depending on how you join the first verse to the next verse, then it all varies. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. But we'll get to that in another time. The point is, then the next verse is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. And these are the two most beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say it in Bismillah as well. We say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And again, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Again, these two beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come. And as we've discussed so far, it encompasses beneficence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these things are in Rahman and Rahim. Whereas masters in the world, they are never associated with mercy. Just think about your own little masters that you have. You know, the master which is potentially your employer, your supervisor, your manager. Imagine how they treat you. They always just want to get as much out of you for their own benefit. And they are very rarely ever merciful to you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is always Rahman, He is always Rahim, and He is always compassionate and merciful towards you, constantly looking out for your best, for your khair. Whereas you don't find that in the world. You don't find that even with your own children. They always want to do it what benefits them. It's very hard to find true forms of mercy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our master, but He is not associated with oppression. He is not associated with zulm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. That what will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever achieve or want by putting you in azab? All Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ, is be grateful. Be grateful and recognize who your Lord and who your Master is. وَآمَنْتُمْ, and believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's all that you need to do. And you'll never get azab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And iman followed by shukr, acknowledgement of Allah azza wa jal, and you get everything that you want. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that merciful master, that merciful Lord, that provider, that nourisher, that sustainer. And He never forces you to do anything. Masters do, don't they? Your employer does. Even your own children do, your wife do, everybody who has some leverage and some power and control, they always try to get other people to do their job. I mean, even as parents say, ekar, ekar to our kids, and go and do this and go and do that. And they can't argue back because that they do. And they do it. And because we exert this amount of lordship over our own children. But then it's tainted with, you know, abuse as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He never forces us to do anything. We have وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the master of all of the world, says, whoever wants to believe, believe. Whoever wants to disbelieve, then disbelieve. Tusani apni marzi, your own choice. But based on your choices, then you'll either be rewarded or you'll be punished. So the master is there, you've got your own choice, you've got your life, you've got your decisions to make. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never burden you beyond your capacity. Masters always burden their slaves beyond their capacity. They always force their slaves to do things beyond their capacity and beyond their means. They never gave them a choice and they were never merciful. But look at our Lord, how merciful He is, how open He is, and how He gives us the choice to come to Salah for our benefit, to pray and to do all of the things, and He will never burden you beyond your capacity. He will always let you make your own choice and your decision. So this should really make us understand how Rahman and how Rahim Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. We sometimes don't even give our children the choice. And sometimes the government doesn't give us a choice and we have to fall in line. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, up until the time that you pass away, will always give you that time and that choice. You can decide. But once you're dead, then that's it. Then everything is sealed up and closed. And now it's time for your hisab kitab based on the decisions that you made during your life. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. Life and death has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for one purpose, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, to test and trial every single one of you to see which kind of actions that you will do, whether you will do good actions or bad actions, what decisions and choices you will make. This is up to you, your decision, your life. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahman and Rahim. He will still, even though you ignore Him and you disobey Him and you don't keep your fast and you don't pray your salah and you don't give your zakah and you don't perform your hajj and you don't maintain your aqidah and your iman and your faith and you don't do any of these things, in spite of that, He will still be Rahman. He'll still be Rahim towards you. He'll still be nurturing you and providing for you. Do you know when you stop, you know, going to the job seekers and signing in and doing those things, even the government stops your money. When you stop doing the things that the government wants, even they stop your benefits. But in spite of you disobeying Allah, ignoring Allah, He still provides for you and nourishes you and sustains you and protects you in one way or another. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being Rahman and Rahim. So think about this when you're praying in your salah. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Do you know when a slave is essentially like a product, just like a cow or a sheep or a goat or anything else? And what happens when something stops serving its purpose? Even here now, when something becomes obsolete, what do? We are a throwaway society. We get the phone, we throw it away. We get our clothes, we throw them away. And we go and we buy something new. This is what we do. Because it's no longer beneficial for us. It doesn't benefit us. It becomes obsolete, so we get rid of those things. So ask yourself, what does a master do when the slave disobeys him? When the slave is no longer beneficial to the master? What did the masters used to do? They used to shoot them, they used to get rid of them, they used to sell them off. This is what they used to do. Even in Pakistan now, if you have a cow, a guy, or a sheep, or anything else, any other animal, and it stops producing milk, or it stops producing other children, you say, "Hey, nikamiya give hadimandni aginu vechdiyo." That's what they say. Let's sell this cow, let's sell this sheep, let's sell this goat. It's not beneficial to us anymore. Or let's slaughter it and chalo, you know, kushna kushna fayda, kami hogi. This is what we say. We are the masters of that sheep and that cow. We are the masters of these products and these items. And we exert so much control and we make these decisions that I'm going to throw this away now. Think about yourself. You are the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much disobedience do you continuously do? How beneficial are you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But in spite of that, He is so Rahman, He is so Rahim. He doesn't slaughter you. He doesn't get rid of you. He doesn't annihilate you. He doesn't do any of these things. He gives you chance upon chance upon chance and upon chance. Perhaps He will change. Perhaps He will reflect. Perhaps He will come to His senses. Perhaps He will seek knowledge. Perhaps something will hit Him and then He'll realize who my Master is, who my Lord is, and who I am, and how I should be living my life. So the masters in the dunya, they dispose of things when it's no longer beneficial to them. They dispose of their property. Even in Pakistan, the property value, if it slums, what do? Vicho. What are stocks? Property value goes up. Oh, I'm going to keep this stock. It goes down. Sell. This is what we do. We dispose of things readily when things no longer are beneficial to us. But what about us who are the servants and slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but He still nurtures us? He still gives us chance upon chance. He still provides for us, and He still continues to say merciful towards us as well. In the dunya, when there is a slave, when there is a donkey, when there is a camel or an animal or anything else, when it slacks, what does the owner do? For those people who have been to Pakistan in the last 15, 20 years, you'll see tangay, you'll see khoti riniya, obviously it's less and less now. But what do you see when these animals slack with the load on the back? The master gets the whip out, ta, ta. What do you do when your children slack? You get the chitter, you get your slippers and you go ta, ta. When you see those people beneath you slacking as a master, as a controller, you punish them. Or you torture them, and sometimes you even end up killing them as a result of them not giving you that benefit. Oh, how many times? But how many times have we slacked in our salah? How many times have we neglected our salah for Fajr or for Isha especially? How many times have we not been concentrating in our salah? There's been no devoutness, no khushu in our salah. Is this not slacking? When we don't do our wudu properly, when we don't wear the correct clothes, when we don't groom properly, when we stand before Allah and we're just so lazy and like yawning away, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, and just like, is this all not slacking? You know, in this day and age, they say productivity, productivity. We need to make sure you're maximizing your time, you're maximizing your effort and everything, and you're giving as much output as possible. It's productivity, that's what they want, your employers. Where is our productivity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your iman? Where is your productivity and your output in your salah, in your zakah, in your hajj, in your sum? Are you really maximizing your fast in the month of Ramadan today, or are you just cruising through? I'll sleep, you know. I ask some students now, and they say, Ustaz, you have just woken up and it's like 5 o'clock. This is their productivity in the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan is about striving and earning extra rewards and standing up throughout the night and working throughout the day and constantly worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not sleeping for 12, 13 hours and then keeping a fast for 4, 5 hours and say, Allah ajmir wa zarkia. Allah, I fasted for you. Allahumma inni laka sumtu wa bika amantu wa alayka tawakkaltu wa ala rizkika aftartu. Allah, I kept a roza for you and I believe in you and I'm opening my fast for you. Really? Is this the productivity and the output that you're giving to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When you were giving our bacha kucha chanda on Friday, we're just giving pennies and small change, and we say, oh, this is... Think about these things when you are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you're saying, Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Think about your relationship as Allah, as your Lord, as your Master, and you as your slaves. How Allah has never burdened you, always giving you free choice, and never given you beyond your capacity. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in spite of us slacking, and in spite of us constantly disappointing Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not punish us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not take us and torture us and kill us and do these things. He still gives us chance upon chance and upon chance. What does He do? He lets it slide. You know, our parents as well, we see this element of, you know, mercy in them as well, of Rahman and Rahim. The child will lie and break and do so many things. Parents, child, oh janib. Bacche, oh jane, and the child constantly just forgive and forgive and forgive and continue to forgive, because this is what a parent does. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far greater than that, and He continues to forgive and slide. He is forbearing, He is forgiving, but He is hoping that we will turn to Him in absolute and complete submission and realize when we say, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, and realize the true relationship of Him being our Master, Him being our Lord, Him being our nourisher and protector and provider, and we being the slaves, and what a slave should do. You know, you always have this expectation of what your employee should do, what your wife should do, what your son and daughter should do, what your neighbor should do, how they should behave, all of these things, how society should operate. What about us? Where are all of our parameters? Where are all of our rules and regulations that we should be doing before Rabbil Alameen, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where are all of those things? And we constantly neglect that. So that's why when you come to your salah, really think about these things, and it will transform your salah when you say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who is Rahman. And the ulama have mentioned that Rahman talks about being compassionate and merciful for the present. that He is so compassionate and beneficent and merciful now, that because of that mercy, you are still continuing with your life and with the way that you do and the things that you do. And Rahim is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He reserves for the people on the day of Qiyamah. Because that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show how entirely and completely merciful He is to His people on the day of Qiyamah, when He will forgive them. So we may just be only receiving the Rahmaniyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dunya, but perhaps we may not receive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Rahim on the day of Qiyamah. But if you work hard in the dunya and you remember yourself as a slave and abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshaAllah we have this hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to be Rahman to us in the dunya and be Rahim to us in the hereafter. This is a very important thing for us to understand and reflect upon. InshaAllah, Aziz, we will definitely finish, hopefully tomorrow, the remaining part of Surah Al-Fatiha. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to understand these beautiful things of Surah Al-Fatiha. Think about these things once again. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahmanir Raheem. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.